Campana's First Nighter program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, with an all-star cast sent to you by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. It's theater time on the Great White Way, and you are cordially invited to attend the premiere of a new play on Broadway. Here's the night that brings patrons of the arts and the top draw of society to the theater. A veritable who's who parade. And now, here is your host for the evening, the genial First Nighter.
Good evening, everybody. This promises to be one of the most exciting nights of the theater season, so let's lose no time in getting to the opening. Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, we're off. Up Broadway across 42nd Street, and here is the famous Crossroads of America. Up ahead there, where the lights are brightest, is the little theater off Times Square. Well, here we are.
Smoking codfish, I never saw so many beautiful women. Julie, check out the magic touch.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're all comfortably seated, and we just have time to look at the theater program. Well, here's a notice right on the front cover of the program. It says, "Attention, listen after Act One tonight for news about Magic Touch. You'll hear all about it at the end of Act One." And now let's see about tonight's play. It's another original called Help Wanted Female. The author is Floyd Miller, and the co-stars that talented pair, Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. Miss Luddy will play the part of Pam, a young lady in need of a job. Mr. Soule is cast as Andy, a publicity expert. And I see many top names in the supporting cast, William Conrad, Polly Bear, and others of equal fame. But now, with First Curtain coming up soon, let's listen to Frank Worth and the famous First Nighter Orchestra. There's the signal for First Curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
The whole thing started last summer when I was unemployed. Each morning I would buy the newspaper, mark the likely jobs in the want ad section, then run my legs off from one side of Manhattan to the other, trying to beat 100 other girls to the personnel managers. I wasn't doing so well until the morning I saw the following ad. It was under Help Wanted Female, and it read, "Administrative assistant to wealthy philanthropist. Must have executive ability. Be able to organize office, handle people. Salary in upper brackets for right person. Apply 3 p.m., room 1048, Drakeson Hotel." Well, I tucked the paper under my arm and started for the Drakeson. But if I'd known the heartache and terror that lay behind that innocent-appearing ad, I would have run in the opposite direction as fast as my legs could carry me. Suite 1048 was jammed with smart and capable-looking girls, and my courage almost failed me. But I filled out the application blank and waited my turn to be ushered into the presence of the wealthy philanthropist. Finally...
Well, hello, my dear.
How do you do?
Now, let's see. You are Pamela Moore.
Yes, sir.
My name's Mr. Julius. Sit down, my dear, sit down.
Thank you.
Now I see by your application here that you've been active in organizational and publicity work.
I was publicity director for the New York area during the war for one of the war agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And later European field director for relief of displaced persons.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Now this position that I have available will require a high degree of, shall we say, public relations know-how. Not in the sense of producing and placing copy, but in the sense of knowing the pitfalls of bad publicity. A preventive job.
Oh, you mean that you would prefer to have no publicity at all rather than bad publicity?
Yes, that's it, my dear. You understand exactly. There will be, of course, other sides to the job, the building of a staff, the handling of human as well as policy problems. In short, you would be my good right arm. For I intend to remain completely anonymous in this new enterprise. I like your background and your appearance. Yes, I think you're the one. You're available at once?
Oh, yes, sir.
Your salary will be $125 a week to start.
Oh, well, that's very generous, I'm sure. Where do I come for work?
Well, for the time being, you stay home. Be available in your apartment every day from 9 to 5. Now go home and stay there until I telephone.
Hello?
Hello, Pamela, my dear. This is Mr. Julius.
Oh, I was afraid I was never going to hear from you.
Well, I'm quite ready to proceed with our plans now. I want you to rent a suite of offices in a good neighborhood, preferably on Fifth or Madison or Park Avenues. Furnish them in your own good taste. And then we shall discuss the hiring of a general manager for our enterprise.
But, Mr. Julius, how can I rent offices when I know so little about our organization? Why, I don't even know the name.
Did I forget to tell you the name? I'm sorry. Humanity United Against Hunger.
And that's the story of my experience, Miss Moore. I've never quite headed up an organization like this one. What did you say the name was?
Humanity United Against Hunger.
Yes. Well, I've never been in the social service field, but I do know advertising, publicity, and I think I could handle the job.
I think you could, too. This is a job of raising funds for the relief of European children, and I think your advertising and promotion experience is what we need. You're hired, Mr. Andrew Gilbert. You are now president of Humanity United Against Hunger.
President? Is that what you said?
We won't have a very large staff, so we all might as well have big titles.
Okay, president it is, but by the way, what's your title?
I'm your secretary.
My secretary? I'm supposed to be head man, but you're my secretary. Actually, you're head man, and I'm your... I don't get it.
Well, it's really very simple. There is a wealthy philanthropist behind all this, and he wants to remain completely anonymous. I'm the only one who will know his identity, and I'll transmit his orders to you. I'm sort of liaison, understand?
I understand that I take orders from my secretary. I don't care much for that.
The salary is good, Andy. You don't mind if I call you Andy?
I don't usually let my secretary call me by my first name. But this seems to be an unusual situation, doesn't it, Miss Moore?
My dear, I want to congratulate you. An excellent personnel job.
I think Mr. Gilbert is going to be extremely valuable, Mr. Julius.
I'm sure of it. You, told him nothing of me, of course?
Of course not.
Excellent. You see, I want no credit or public recognition for this humanitarian work we're about to do. The fact that we shall feed hungry mouths is all the satisfaction I require. Now then, here is the cash for operating expenses until public contributions begin to arrive. And here is my personal check for $200. I want to make the first contribution to our great humanitarian fund.
No publicity campaign? Well, you must be crazy. How do you expect to make the public conscious of our organization if we don't feed items to the columnists and radio commentators? How do you expect to get contributions from the people if we don't...
I told you, Andy, we'll do it by direct mail.
Direct mail is okay, but it's not enough. The country's in the middle of a food conservation campaign. The people are eager to send relief to the starving in Europe. We've got to let them know it can be done through us. We have a big public relations job to do, and we can't pinch pennies
it's
if we want to...
It's not a question of funds. We have plenty of money.
Well, then what is it? What in heaven's name is holding things up?
He wants it done quietly, without fanfare.
Yeah, he. Who is this mysterious person who runs our lives? And what does he know about it, anyway?
He pays our salaries, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. Direct mail it is.
We'll get results, you'll see. We'll use blow-up pictures of starving children and hollow-eyed mothers, the old heart appeal. We might even show a plump American baby in the foreground, a montage of hunger and misery. Andy, you're not even listening.
Hmm? No, no, I guess I wasn't, Pamela. I was trying to figure you.
Oh? And what did you decide?
Not much yet. You're pretty, and capable, and cold. What else, I don't know.
Cold?
Yeah. You handle starving kids as if they were so many numbers in a market research report. And you handle me the same way. Oh, don't look so shocked. I know sentiment and business don't mix. But I always figured that sincerity was pretty important. And that's where I can't score you.
You're one of those men who likes to pigeonhole everybody, is that it? Well, perhaps I don't fit in any of your pigeonholes.
Oh, you'll fit one of them, all right. It's just a question of finding the right one in time.
Unless, of course, you get fired.
That boss lady might even help me to find it.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of the life play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs only, please. Smoking in the outer lobby.
And now between the acts, here is Larry Keating with a friend of his. And that important news you've been waiting for.
Please, Mr. Keating, won't you tell us something tonight about Magic Touch? What is it?
Well, it's really too good to keep much longer. Magic Touch is Campana's new and completely different cream makeup.
What's so different about it?
It's a complexion cream makeup applied to the skin with the fingertips, containing a special new magic ingredient. Magic Touch blends with your skin better than any cream makeup yet invented. It literally performs miracles for your complexion, giving a transforming effect that will thrill you. And it's so easy to use. No water is necessary, no puff. Just your fingertips. It can be applied anytime, anywhere.
What does it look like?
Magic Touch comes in a thin wafer-like compact. There are six heavenly complexion-flattering shades, ranging from light to the deeper golden colors. You simply stroke your fingers over the top of the creamy surface and apply it to your face, then blend. That's all there is to it. Magic Touch immediately becomes part of you and lasts for hours and hours. It softens your skin and beautifies it at the same time. It's all you need to be beautiful.
Do I use powder, too?
Not unless you want to. Magic Touch is lovely either way. If you like a dull, matte-like finish, simply dust your face with powder after you have used it. If you prefer the new luminous effect, and I don't mean shiny, apply Magic Touch as your only complexion need. Magic Touch is your opportunity to see how really pretty you can be, and you'll never know until you try it. Magic Touch comes in two sizes, the lovely white and gold plastic compact for $1, and the special introductory compact for only 39 cents. Believe me, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch.
First nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of Help Wanted Female.
Humanity United Against Hunger was launched quietly, without fanfare, just as Mr. Julius wanted. Thousands of four-color leaflets were printed and sent to a general mailing, and the results were almost instantaneous. Money orders, checks, and cash began to pour into the office. Finally, I couldn't resist it any longer, and I took a bundle of money orders and greenbacks into Andrew Gilbert's office and slapped them on his desk. Well, Andy, take a look at the last mail delivery.
Quite a pile of cabbage. One mail?
One mail. $1,258.26. And weren't you the gentleman who said that direct mail leaflets wouldn't pull?
Well, that was before I wrote the leaflets.
Now, if you will endorse the money orders...
You'll take them to the bank, cash them, and turn the cash over to Mr. Big.
That's the usual procedure, isn't it?
Well, I'm only president of this outfit, and I don't want to appear nosy, Miss Moore, but there are a few things that strike me as rather peculiar. You don't mind my thinking out loud, do you?
Go right ahead.
Well, our organization, under my sterling leadership, has taken in close to $30,000 for relief purposes. And yet we've made no move to arrange for distribution of food or clothing. It seems strange.
I've told you before, that is all being taken care of...
By the mysterious Mr. Big again. Yes, yes, of course. We're nothing but money raisers. He takes care of food distribution through a separate organization.
Andy, why are you looking at me like that?
I was just wondering about the identity of this mysterious Mr. Big. I was wondering if it might not even be you.
Excellent mail response, my dear. You're to be congratulated.
I thought you'd be pleased, Mr. Julius. And it gets bigger every day.
Yes, I'm deeply gratified.
When I think of all the hungry little mouths this money will feed, my heart brims over with pride.
Mr. Julius, Andrew Gilbert is asking some questions.
Questions? What sort of question?
He keeps wondering about the distribution of relief.
Well, you told him that a separate organization would handle that.
I told him, but he didn't seem satisfied.
Well, you should be able to handle him, my dear. After all, you're a very attractive woman.
Well, Mr. Julius, as a matter of fact,
No matter, my dear, I'm sure you've done your best. So Mr. Gilbert is wondering, huh? Well, perhaps we'll have to do something to satisfy his curiosity.
I left Mr. Julius' old brownstone house on West 83rd Street late that night. As I came down the steps, I saw that the street was deserted. But no, not entirely. Across the street, his hat pulled low over his eyes, a man leaned against the light post. There was something vaguely familiar about him. Then I remembered. He had walked down the street behind me when I came to see Mr. Julius 2 hours before. I turned east toward the subway, my heart pounding. The man crunched a cigarette under his heel and began to walk. Now there was no question. This man was following me.
Hey. Hey there, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
You! Andy Gilbert, you've been following me.
Who lives in that brownstone house you just left?
I don't see that it's any of your business whom I call
on. Who lives there? Mr. Big? The mysterious head man? Well?
Andy, you're hurting my arm.
Tell me his name. I said tell me.
Please, Andy. It's Mr. Julius. Andy, where are you going?
I'm up to my neck in something, and I intend to find out what it is. I'm going to see this Mr. Julius.
Yes?
Are you Mr. Julius?
That's my name, yes.
You're the man I want to see.
See here, you can't force your way into my apartment.
I'm Andrew Gilbert, president of Humanity United Against Hunger.
Well, now, isn't that a coincidence? You know, Mr. Gilbert, I've been wanting to have a talk with you.
That goes both ways, so let's talk.
Yes, let us do indeed. I hope you won't be offended at what I'm about to say, Mr. Gilbert, but I feel it is my duty to tell you that I have developed some grave doubts concerning your organization.
You have doubts? That's a good one. Why hasn't application been made for a food export license? We've taken in a lot of money. Why hasn't any relief work been done?
My precise questions. Why indeed? Come now, Mr. Gilbert. You're the president of the organization. Why haven't these steps been taken?
Now, just a minute. Our signals are crossed someplace. You're the head man. You've been pocketing all the money.
Whoever in the world told you that?
Miss Pamela Moore. What do you think of that?
Miss Moore? I can't believe it.
Well, it's true. And I'm here for a showdown. Do you hear? A showdown.
Mr. Gilbert, don't get excited, please. We must think this thing through calmly. You see, I'm afraid that we've both been victimized.
All this double talk isn't going to help you, Julius.
No, it's no double talk, my friend. I am almost convinced now that Miss Pamela Moore has been running a confidence game, and we've been taken in. And she seemed so compassionate, so selfless in her dedication to the hungry children of Europe. And I'm afraid that I contributed to your organization without investigating properly.
You contributed? I don't get this.
Yes, it's quite true. I have canceled checks to prove it. She certainly fooled me. My friend, I'm afraid that you and I fell for a pretty face.
But she said... Well, I mean...
Yes, I know it's a blow. I've lost a few hundred dollars, but you, my friend, stand to lose much more. You have been the innocent front for this black conspiracy. But you will have difficulty proving your innocence. You stand to lose perhaps even your freedom. My advice to you is to get out fast. Nella, is this the Federal Bureau of Investigation? My name is Julius, and I would like to talk to the head of the New York office of the FBI. He won't be in until tomorrow afternoon. All right, I'll call in for an appointment. No, it's just that I've been swindled in a clever confidence game, and I have reason to believe that the president of the organization is about to flee.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs, you on the down.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he comes, Mr. Larry Keating in person.
Ladies, from all over America, our sponsor is receiving letters that read something like this.
I can't resist writing you to say how glad I am to have Italian Balm again. I missed it so during the war years. Ever since I first discovered Italian Balm, quite a long time ago, I've just never found anything that I like so well for my hands. It protects my skin against dryness and chapping as no other lotion or cream seems able to do.
Yes, thousands and thousands of women who could not get their favorite hand lotion, Italian Balm, during the war years, are now discovering that it's back again in the stores. Same identical superior quality, including all the original ingredients. Same quantity also, at the same pre-war price. Let me urge you to get a bottle of Italian Balm tomorrow, and renew your acquaintance with the famous lotion about which so many women say it never had an equal.
Curtain, last curtain.
The first nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act, and there goes the curtain.
I waited outside when Andy went in to see Mr. Julius. My heart still pounding, my head spinning with half-formed fears. When he finally came out, his face was set and grim. Andy! Andy!
You still here?
I waited for you. I was afraid.
Afraid of what I'd find out?
Afraid that something might happen to you.
Something did.
Andy, where are you going?
Some place where I can think.
Can't I go with you? There's a restaurant over there.
Okay, but I warn you, I'm not going to be very good company.
Andy, you look so tired. What is it?
You want it straight?
Yes, I want it straight.
Mr. Julius informed me that Humanity United Against Hunger is a huge confidence game, and that he and I have been victimized by you.
No. Oh, Andy, no.
He says he has canceled checks to prove that he contributed to the organization under your persuasion. He thinks you've pocketed all the contributions.
No. You don't believe him. Andy.
Any reason why I shouldn't?
No. I guess there isn't. There's no way I can prove what I now know is true.
He makes out a pretty good case against you. But I don't believe him.
Oh, Andy.
Oh, hey, now it's no time for tears.
I'm sorry.
It's a tough spot, boss lady. And we're both in it up to our chins.
I know, and it's my fault. Andy, we'll have to go to the police.
And get locked up?
But we'd tell them the truth.
You think they'd believe it? There's an airtight circumstantial case against us, Pam. A jury wouldn't have to deliberate 5 minutes to reach a verdict. Mr. Julius has fixed himself the perfect racket, and he's 100% in the clear. I'm the president of the organization. I signed the checks. I'm the patsy.
What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know. Now, let's approach it from Julius's angle. He must have figured it a short-term racket because he certainly knew that organizations for foreign relief are licensed by the government and that he'd be investigated sooner or later. That's why the direct mail campaign and nothing else. He wanted to keep it quiet as long as possible.
Oh, I was blind not to see that.
He must figure now that it's about to blow up. He's in the clear, so he'll probably go to the police himself and complain he's been swindled. Yeah. Oh, we don't have much time, baby. There's only one way for us to clear ourselves, and that's to trip up Julius.
Oh, Andy, I...
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. It's a long shot, baby, and if it doesn't pay off, we're cooked good. Are you afraid?
I'm scared to death.
When I hold you, like this.
I'm not afraid, Andy. Not now.
Now remember, as far as Julius is concerned, I still think you're the real swindler. You mustn't tip him off that we're on to him. Sound worried, confused. You got it?
Yes.
Good. Now call.
Mr. Julius, this is Pamela Moore.
Yes. What is it?
Well, I told you last night that Mr. Gilbert was acting strangely. I hate to say this, but I think he's getting ready to run out of town.
You don't say. What makes you think so, my dear?
Well, I heard him make reservations for this afternoon's 20th Century.
The 20th Century, huh?
Yes.
That does look bad.
But that isn't all. We had a record mail today, and he has with him $5,000 of the organization's funds.
He has what? I told you to never let him handle the money.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Julius, but he insisted on taking the money orders to the bank himself. I couldn't stop him. Shall I call the police?
No, don't do that. They'll have to be notified, but I'll take care of that. Don't do a thing, my dear. I'll take care of Mr. Gilbert properly.
It's done.
Oh, you were swell, baby. Now let's just pray that Mr. Julius bites at the bait.
Is everything all right, sir?
Yes, everything's fine, Porter. Well, I'll be having my dinner in my compartment, so please send the waiter in when it's convenient.
Yes, sir, just as soon as dinner's ready. Anything else you want, just ring the buzzer.
Yes? Come in.
Good evening, Mr. Gilbert.
Well, good evening.
You are surprised to see me, no doubt.
Well, not at all, Mr. Julius. I rather expected you.
Oh?
Only I didn't expect you to walk in with a gun in your hand.
I've come for the money you were absconding with. Hand it over.
You're a greedy man, Mr. Julius. You don't expect to get away with this.
You're in enough trouble as it is. You're not likely to complain about this misadventure. The money, please.
Then Miss Moore's not the swindler at all. You are. And we've been your victims.
I have been rather clever, don't you think, Mr. Gilbert? I've made close to $40,000 out of this deal in a few months. And there's absolutely nothing to compromise me. And as for you, my friend, the police will never believe your story.
No, they didn't.
You've told the police?
Yes. When I realized what a jam I was in, I told them everything.
But they let you go.
Well, not really. They just gave me one chance to prove my innocence. That's what I'm doing at this moment.
What are you talking about?
I counted on your greed to trip you up, Julius. You had 40 grand and were sitting free and clear, but you just couldn't stand the thought of my getting a few dollars that might have gone to you. So you came to get it. And that's where you made your big mistake. A detective has been outside that door listening to everything you said. Okay, Larson, come in.
You double-crossing...
Look out, Larson, he's got a gun. Okay, mister, here it is. All right, Larson, he's your baby from now on.
That's quite a Sunday punch you packed there.
Yes, I've been saving that one for some time. And it couldn't happen to a more deserving man.
Andy.
Yes, here I am. Everything's okay.
But I heard shots.
Well, Mr. Julius is a better confidence man than he is a marksman.
Oh, Andy.
Hey, you call that thing a handkerchief? Use this one.
Thank you.
Well, the job now, Larson, is to find that money. I must return every cent to the contributors, along with a letter warning them not to give money to any but bona fide charities and relief organizations. Oh, what a pity it had to happen now. When the need is so great and there are so many worthy organizations working for this cause. Well, okay, boss lady?
I'm not boss lady anymore.
Oh, maybe you are now for the first time. I finally have you pigeonholed, you know. Come here, pigeon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the curtain is down to the last act of tonight's new play in the Little Theater off Times Square. Miss Lottie and Mr. Joy are bowing in front of the footlights. Next week, there's a real dramatic treat in store for you at the Little Theater off Times Square. It's another original play called Shanty Boat Serenade, and the folks who've seen the rehearsals say it'll be one of the top hits of the season. So be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Shanty Boat Serenade and meet some of the funniest and most fascinating people you've ever met in a play. And ladies, in the meantime, ask for Magic Touch, the new cream makeup at your favorite cosmetic counter. Magic Touch gives a magic touch to your beauty. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. Persnatter.
Thank you. Good night. Campana's First Night of Program, starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events.
Take heed. Scratching an irritated skin may cause serious infection. Don't scratch. Use DDD prescription, a greaseless, stainless liquid that brings soothing relief at once from the discomfort of eczema, hives, rash. Get DDD prescription at any drugstore, trial bottle 35 cents.
The First Nighter program comes to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.